I really think about it as, you know, I think some HR people think that they are the advocate, they're the voice of the employee. They are the advocate for the employee in this really tough world where the employer is out to get employees, but I'm here to be that person who's got their back. For me, that's a union rep. That your only vested interest is the employee and not the company. For me, as an HR person, my vested interest is the success of the business, and I want to help employees in an effort to empower the business.
Hi, I'm excited for you to listen to a conversation, a candid conversation that Melanie and I had about the idea of whether a company should have an employee's back, quote unquote. It ends up being a discussion about what really is the role of manager. Does the idea of sort of different generations, the youth, Gen Z, millennial, et cetera, have an impact on this? And at the end, just kind of talking about what's what is a really well-defined company culture and how can you find one that aligns to what you're looking for? And since I've got you, if you are at a company and you do not like your compliance training, your employee hotline, your HR case management, please come check out Athena. We're doing compliance in a really modern way, and we would love to work with your company. On to the show. So we are talking about the general theme of the your employees are not okay concept, sparked by a specific manifestation of this, a LinkedIn post, again, our favorite social media, that you saw and shared with me, and I was like, yep, this is a topic of conversation. Melanie, how would you describe said LinkedIn post?
Yeah, well, I think the first sentence was essentially, what are you doing to make sure your employees know that you have their backs? And that just stood out to me because the reality is, I think that's a false premise. And a false promise to make to employees that you have their backs, because that's just not their job. That's almost like saying a manager's job is to protect their direct reports. Like that's not a manager's job. Like a manager's job is to empower them and hold them accountable to high standards. So, but the reason it stood out to me is because I don't think this person is atypical. I actually think a lot of people in the HR field, or a lot of people who think about the HR field, think that this is HR's role.
Empowering feels more like, okay, Melanie, you're trying to level up your financial acumen. True. I'm going to introduce you to Jim. True. Yeah. And you guys are going to chat. Having your back feels more like saying, Melanie, you're having a hard time at home with mental health, processing the news, right? Like that. I guess, what do you think having your back means?
So the way that I've heard employees describe it, because I do have a lot of employees, like throughout my history, I've had employees come to me and say, like, my manager doesn't have my back or that sort of thing.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting one.
Oh, yeah. It comes up in like manager feedback surveys. It'll come up on one-on-ones when they come to me to talk about their managers. And what they mean is, oh, someone like publicly gave me constructive feedback in front of everyone, and my manager didn't stand up to like defend me, or my manager, I had a heavy workload, and instead of my manager taking it, you know, lightening my workload, they were like, well, we need to work on how to increase your efficiency so you can get it done. And so to them, they feel like that's not having my back because you're not on my side. It's sort of like a side choosing kind of situation.
When I read the post, it also made me think of this discussion that I feel like happened a lot, pandemic, post-pandemic, kind of died down and then like resurged again, which is sort of like, how do you tolerate talking about politics at the office? Mm-hmm. It's not the exact discussion, but it feels a little bit the same, because I feel like in that LinkedIn post, there was a lot of like sort of assumptions of like, in particular, certain groups of employees are feeling afraid, are feeling X, are feeling Y. Do you connect this to the broader, how should we handle politics at work? Should your company sort of have a public stance? Like, or do these feel like two kind of separate things?
Oh, interesting. I mean, my knee-jerk response is that I have always thought of them as different things, but I can't, hearing you talk about them now, I could see where there is some overlap there. It's a very tricky thing in terms of what do employees expect out of their workplace and what do they think are the expectations of their employer. And to be honest, I think there's a lot of misalignment that's never explicitly addressed at most companies.
Yeah, because I feel like the idea of my company has my back, like to me, I'm sort of like, well, what, yeah, it could have your back in the examples of like almost this very like work thing, like I screwed up and someone yelled at me and I want my manager to go like defend me. Yeah. But I often think of it more in the, I am having a hard time, whether it's almost like a personal issue or a personal related to the political issue.
Hmm.
You know, so like women are struggling to process misogyny. Yeah. Employers, what are you doing to protect your, obviously like that was like, a, I feel like very big post-pandemic or I guess depending on how you define the pandemic, like, and that has like died down a bit, but like, I guess that's where, why I was going there.
Interesting. Okay. So I'll say here's why I think that, and in the end, having heard you out, here's why I think for me, they're two distinct things. One is the tone of that post, honestly, if I'm being super candid, gave me like union vibes. Like I'm a union rep. I'm a union rep and I've got your back against this company, this employer who's the bad guy. Mm. And I think a lot of HR people.
Or bad girl.
Look at
that. Check yourself, Melanie.
Thank you. I'm sorry. That was terrible of me. My bad, people. My bad.
But women can be toxic bosses too.
Yes, Roxanne, you would know firsthand. You would know firsthand, wouldn't you?
I just want to inspire the next generation of toxic girls. That's fair. Girl bosses.
I think we should. I think we should. We need equity across both genders here. No, but I really think about it as, you know, I think some HR people think that they are the advocate. They are the voice of the employee. They are the advocate for the employee in this really tough world where the employer is out to get employees, but I'm here to be that person who's got their back. For me, that's a union rep. That your only vested interest is the employee and not the company. For me, as an HR person, my vested interest is the success of the business, and I want to help employees in an effort to empower the business. But at any point when helping the employee becomes in conflict with helping the business, then at that point, I am no longer doing my job. And for the record, I want to give a clear example here so that people aren't making assumptions here. If by helping an employee, what that means is I want to spend half of our entire year's budget on a mental health resource, that would be lovely. Don't get me wrong. That would be so lovely for the employees short term. And also, we would quickly go out of business, not have any money to do the other things that we need to do to run the business. And then all those employees that I was supposedly advocating for now don't have a job because we couldn't sustain the business. I think it's all about expectation setting, and I don't think enough companies do that. I'll be honest, I think we talked about this. I can't remember if it was in a podcast or in a one-on-one. When
they're getting blurred because we're not recording.
We're not recording. These are the actual conversations we have.
Right.
But I remember when we were recruiting for my most recent direct report, who's now been with us for about 6 months now, in the interview process, I made a decision that I was like, I'm like too strapped for bandwidth to try and be like the best possible manager and be super accommodating to, you know, any employee that comes in. So I'm just going to be upfront about people who love working with me as a manager, these are the things they love about me. And the people who hate working with me as a manager, these are the things I hate that they hate about me. Like, are you cool with that? Like, which of these things gives you pause? And it was just wonderful because it set the tone from the start that like, I'm not going to do these things very well. If you're not cool with that, we should part ways now. If you're okay with it, great, let's partner. And I'll be honest, it's been working pretty great because I was not lying. There are some things that I just don't do very well as a manager, and my direct report is not upset about it because they knew coming into this that that would be the situation. And I think tying it back into Gen Z, I think a lot of people just don't set the expectations for Gen Z. This is the kind of company we are. Are you cool with that or are you not? And then Gen Z can say, okay, I want to opt in or I want to opt out.
Totally. There was this idea Anne and I, when we were first starting the company, heard about the idea of an anti-sell interview where essentially after you know, like made an offer, you're excited to work with someone, that we definitely did in our early roles of like all the things that might be hard about this role or the company, you know, like just being really clear about, hey, like, you know, we are early and here is like what we have not figured out. And I do think there's something pretty magical that happens when you do that because, yeah, you get people who opt in. You don't sort of feel like you were misled. It feels vaguely like my husband and I got together like 10, 15 years, I don't know, after knowing each other. And so it was sort of like, you knew, like, there couldn't be this moment of like, wow, I had no idea that you had this personality quirk, because it's just like, you kind of know a lot. And that's not to say I specifically did an anti-cell, but just like.
Wait, that's actually very impressive. I didn't know you guys knew each other for 10 to 15 years before getting together. That's
Yeah, wow, the fact that impressive. I can't tell you, like, exactly what. We knew each other through since sophomore year of college until, like, after we were both out of the Army. So that's like 10 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
It's a long time. And through, like, situations where it was, like, you know, either we were, like, very tired, very hungry, very grumpy, very hot in, like, you know, Western Georgia jumping out of planes or something. So I feel like we had been literally battle-tested and that all of my really bad personality traits had absolutely come out.
I really like that. I think everybody should do that. Everybody be friends for 10 to 15 years, and then you can decide if you want to, you know, get together.
I feel like something I am noticing is you and I are aligned. That is a good thing in that we literally work at the same place. So it would be probably a little bit hard if we disagreed on something so fundamental. But for me, a couple thoughts come to mind. I'm curious, like, kind of where you land. One is, like, I'm not convinced we're right, but I'll say, like, I'm convinced we're right for us. Like, I think, like, this whole conversation about, like, what is a manager's job is, like, just deeply entwined with, like, what company culture, you know, you sort of have. And I think a company culture, I've heard this quote that I've become obsessed with, the risk of insult is the price of clarity. Meaning, like, I think an employee, a prospective employee, could be very insulted by the idea of Melanie standing out on LinkedIn and saying, I will not have your back. But at least you'd be incredibly clear, and there would be a type of employee, prospective employee, who's like, this, I want this. Yep. What comes to mind for you?
I mean, I think that's exactly right. I think, you know, what's too bad about a lot of these conversations is that I think people fill in the blanks of the unspoken things and assume that what I'm saying or what you're saying is that, like, if you're an employee and you feel this way and you disagree with us, you're bad and you're not going to succeed in the world. Yeah. I don't think that's true at all. I think that you probably won't succeed at our company because our company has a different set of values and a different culture, but I think you would be a great employee at another company that had a culture that aligned with what you're looking for. And so I think what it means is be on the lookout for the if you're on the employer side, make sure you have clarity so that you're attracting the right kinds of employees versus figuring that out along the way and then having to part ways very roughly. And if you're an employee and you know what you're looking for, be on the lookout for that in the roles that you apply to.
And I think it's like be on the lookout and try to figure out ways to suss out the truth of it. So, like, Melanie, your example of, you know, when you were interviewing for your, like, ops associate about, like, not sometimes people exaggerate how great of a manager they are or something, you know, so I feel like there's questions, like, if you ask, are you supportive? Most people are like, yes, you know, like, great. But, like, Melanie, can you think of a question that gets at a little bit more, like, the how you would really suss this out?
Oh, I could think of like a million. I mean, one would be literally, hey, tell me as a manager, in your past reviews, like what are the things that your direct reports have flagged as strengths and what are the things that your direct reports have flagged as more challenging things that they have to work around. I could think about like as a manager, what are, tell me about like the most inconvenient direct report that you ever had and what about them was inconvenient. If you're worried about work-life balance, literally say, how do you define work-life balance and when have you found misalignment with a direct report? Like ask the questions that are not yes, no, or obvious answers. Ask questions that really force them to give you a true answer.
I think it's that, and then I think it's shutting up after the question because sometimes we all have a tendency to lead the witness, which can be really tricky. And then I'll just give a shout out to my favorite tactic that I've trolled you on consistently, which is back channeling can be a great thing here, even if you're an employee considering joining a company, which is like, go find people who have worked there at varying roles at different time periods and go ask them. But yeah, to me, the idea of just being incredibly clear, like I think there's companies who have been so well-defined in their brand and what they're about. And I think that's like so much better than kind of having this very squishy, like we're sort of having our employees back, but also we demand excellence. And people should tune in to your, I think you're giving a talk at Transform that's like kind of tangentially related, right? It's about this idea of like companies suddenly becoming super hardcore and we don't have anyone's back. Instead, like you grind here 7 days a week in office. So I think that will be a very interesting little chat.
Yeah, tune in. I'm excited for it.
Like and subscribe, as the youth says. Okay. Good talk, Melanie. Ooh. I've been waiting my whole life to say this. If you like this episode, please like, subscribe, and follow us on LinkedIn, because that's the only social media platform where we hang out.